Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
It is great to be back. 2017, here it is. It is great to have you in church. If you're not familiar with how Compass Church works, we would we actually normally have two Sundays off this time of year. Usually it's the one after Christmas and then the first one in Jan. But this year, due to the nature of the dates in which they fall, Christmas Day on a Sunday and then the first being a Sunday last Sunday and today obviously being the 8th, we just felt that if we were to start church on the 2nd, being the 15th of Jan, it was just too late a start. So I want to congratulate you for being here today at our first service. I think we have a bunch of people that are just not coming to church out of protest. And they go, no, we've been used to for the last 7 years having two Sundays off in Jan or thereabouts. So they're kind of going out in protest. But, you know, as I said, I guess, you know, we're only coming to church to worship the creator of the universe and this incredible God. So really, why would you want to come to church? I don't know. But anyway, that said, cheap shot. I read this, a couple of quotes over the Christmas break, which kind of stuck and helped shape and form a little bit and my message this morning. And I just was in one of my readings, it was better for the judge to see my innocence than for me to think I see it. Have a think about that. Better for the judge to see my innocence than for me to think I see it. And in regards to our relationship with God, I think sometimes God sees us in a way that we need to start seeing ourselves. And that sometimes we hold on to things and stuff when God's actually gone, hey, I'm over that. We've forgiven you. It's time for you to move on. And I think that sometimes we have that mentality of when then, which is when everything is in order or this is right, then I'll get more connected and involved and committed or in some way, shape or form. But I just really love that, how we kind of like just a reminder to start to see ourselves as God sees us. I think it kind of, I don't know what you have for breakfast each day, but for me, at the moment I'm in this habit of having just two eggs and two rashers of bacon and, you know, sort of I just lean bacon and just that's just what I do. And as I was looking at my plate, I was just reminded of just that whole kind of story about how the chicken is involved, but the pig is committed. You know what I'm saying? So which one are you? Are you the chicken or are you going to be the pig? In 2017, is it going to be sort of like, you know, you're involved, but seriously, I'm not calling you a pig, by the way. I'm just saying, pick up the essence of the story here, people. But as your part, and if you're visiting with us this morning, it is really genuinely, it is great to have you come and hang out with us and that sort of thing. But just for all of those that are regulars at Compass Church, just straight off the bat, straight up, as your pastor, just saying that we are wanting to thank the people that have just so graciously served and helped Compass Church become what it has. But I honestly believe that 2017 is going to be a significant breakthrough year for us for a number of reasons. And I think that we will get to the end of this year and we will see and look back, and then we'll look back with a level of wonder and awe. I believe that as a church, we have just been tried to be as obedient as we could in the years leading up to now. And this is we turned 10 in October, which is, we're planning a great celebration for that, which will be a lot of fun. But I believe that, you know, like there's times for sowing and there's times for ploughing and all of that hard work and the callus on the hands. And I believe we've been faithful in that. And I believe this year is the start of a year and a season of us moving into a time of significance for us as a church. And I encourage you to jump on board as a pastor. You know, we are constantly looking for, and we need people who are just totally committed to what and who it is that God has called us to be. And, you know, we cannot build something unless people are committed. I mean, if a house gets built and the tradies turn up once a month and, you know, do a little bit here and then leave it for another month, that place is not going to get built in a hurry. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know if anyone's gone through the building process, but, you know, like you kind of like, you like it when the tradies are all there and they're doing their job and they're getting it done, and then the next lot of tradies can come in, get their job done. But if they just rocked up once a month, then that delays the next thing, and then that puts the electricians on hold and their plumbers on hold, and it puts the plasterers on hold and the tilers on hold and the grouters on hold. It just puts everyone else on hold, And so we're just looking for, straight off the bat in 2017, if you don't have a church home, we're committed to helping you find one. We believe that the church is God's primary expression of seeing his kingdom extended here on earth. The church is no joke. Loving and serving Jesus is no joke. And we believe that it's the greatest cause that you can be involved in. And there's lots of different ways at Compass Church that we create, whether that's through the courses that we have, and we've designed some, and we've actually adopted others, and we've got ways and means, and we're looking to constantly improve that. And sometimes we do a survey, and based on the information we get out of the surveys, we want to run courses that are actually scratching where the itch is at. So if there's a survey put out, fill out the survey. There's a thought. Actually, fill out the survey so we can actually better tailor. Or even still, if ever you have an idea or thought as to maybe an area of ministry or something that can happen, or especially if you were thinking about an idea of something that you would invite your friends to, or some kind of event or some kind of service that you would invite your friends to, we're all ears. We as a leadership are not the fountains of all creativity and all of that sort of stuff. We love receiving and hearing ideas that you may have around how we can improve things and do things better. So this year, you know, in church life, my observation over the 20-odd years that I've been pastoring and stuff is there's three groups of people. Number one is that there is a group of people everywhere you go, no matter what church, and actually probably the same is true for footy and cricket clubs and stuff, any kind of club, is that there are those that are just doing too much. Those that are just like, you know, just hand to the plate, and they are just actually taking on too much because, you know, what can happen sometimes is when people don't fulfill their commitment and responsibility and people have to fill in those gaps, is that the people who fill in the gaps are those that are already quite busy and capable and able. So we've got people in our church that just need to pull back a bit because you're doing too much. And don't worry, we'll tell you. We'll make sure. And because if we tell you to have a weekend off, it's not because we don't love you and we don't want you around. We want to take care of you. So that's the first group of people, and we do have those in the life of our church. Then we have those, you know, that unique set of people that have found the balance between being involved and the responsibilities and commitments outside of church. And that's a great place to be in, and we've got those people. And want to encourage you just to keep faithfully serving in those ways in which you are, which is cool. And then there's those that are, as James Brown would say, need to get up off of that thing. What thing am I talking about? You're sitting on it, all right? The gluteus maximus, whatever it is, the junk in the trunk, whatever it is, however you want to describe it, got to get up off of that thing and start actually contributing and being a part of our community. Now, we always say that there is a time for when people come to Compass and they hang out. We want you to sit and actually catch the heart, as John said, around communion, catch the heart of who we are and actually really find out, not take this decision lightly, but really find out, is this meant to be your spiritual home? And after 2 or 3 months, you might just go, you know what, this is just not the right fit. This is not where I feel that I can use my gifts or talents and actually give my very all for the kingdom of God to be extended through this expression of the church here in the city of Glenora in Melbourne. And that's okay, because it's not just about the Compass Church thing, it's about the kingdom of God. And so there is a season when we need to sit and we need to heal and be restored and refreshed for some people. I get it. But then there comes a time when we need to get up off that thing and we actually need to actually be a part of. And there's lots of different ways at Compass Church that you can do that, whether that's through the setup and the pack up, whether it's through a host team. I would say they're probably the best ways to initially get engaged and connected in the life of a church. Because as you're kind of doing stuff, we've actually ended up with a couple getting married because they met in the setup team. The setup team are claiming that engagement / now marriage, Lucas and Julia. But that's all right. You know, they're the poster couple for the setup team. You know, there's a great way to actually get to know people and hosting and things like that. Greeting people at the door and those sort of things. But then we have like other ministries, age-specific ministries and different ministries in the life of our church. Compass Community Care, so many ways to serve our community through Compass Community Care. So, you know, we try to provide every avenue and opportunity for people to get connected and to have a sense of belonging and actually a sense of involvement. And so, you know, it's not a sales pitch. The reality of something growing and building is that we need people who are committed and are going to actually stay strong and stay the course. So that's about doing. But The longer I've been or tried to be a pastor, I've actually discovered it's actually not just about the doing. For me, the older I'm getting, I actually realize the level of effectiveness that I desire to have in this role that I'm called to fulfill and what I'm supposed to be doing is not just about trying to make myself busier and to give the appearance of, wow, isn't Phil busy and hasn't he got a lot on, and somehow that gives the illusion that we're actually being effective in what we're doing. As we all know, that's not always the case. Just because we're busy doesn't mean we're actually being productive or fruitful in any way. But what I'm finding is that I need to focus on more and more is my own personal relationship with Jesus. The doing's got to get done. We're about that. We've got to be Jesus' hands and feet. We've got to be an extension of him here on earth. So I get that. But what I want to get down to this morning, just for a few minutes, is just that sense of our being and where we're at in our relationship with Christ. And I'm constantly trying to be around people or ask people or read something or watch something or listen to something where I'm just going to get challenged and I'm going to grow and I don't want to stay the same. I want to be all that God has actually called me and created me to be the better husband, to be a better dad, to be a better mate, to be a better pastor, to be a better leader. So at the start of a year, what kind of questions can we ask ourselves when it comes to who we are, who we're becoming, who we're called to be? Well, this morning, I don't want to focus on the why. I don't want to focus on the why. I think the why is a question that we should ask at times, but sometimes we get stuck on the why and we can be almost like frozen in time at the moment of when that why happened and we don't actually move forward and we don't move into the fullness of what God's for us, got for us. I think the reality of, I don't know what your life's been like, but there's been several incidences in my life where I still have a big question and a question mark, why? Say, God, why? And as I stand here today, I still don't have an answer for that. But if I stop and I stay in the why, I'm going to miss out on all that God's got for me in the future. And so it's not the why, important question, but it's the what. It's the what question. Turn to the person next to you and say, what? What? Number one, the first question I think we can ask ourselves at the start of the year is, what has worked in the past that I should keep doing? What has worked for me in the past that I just need to keep doing? Does that make sense? Great. I'm glad you're with me. Second one, what things might work if I actually make some changes or tweak them? So maybe there's things that go, they've got the potential to work, but maybe I need to adjust something in my life, my habits. You know, that whole thing about you can form a new habit in 27 days or something, I think it's a load of rubbish. Because I've tried all last year, I tried doing my shoelaces up the opposite way and it still doesn't come automatic. After a whole year, every morning I'd have to stop and actually have to think about doing my shoelaces up the other way. And has anyone ever tried that? Why? We're not asking that today. What the? But some things are harder to change than others, right? And even this morning, I caught myself trying to go back to the other way of doing my shoelaces up, but I am determined that I'm going to get into a habit of just doing it the other way. Anyway, some things might work if I just make some changes. And then, of course, I think here's the big one, is what are the things that I simply need to stop doing and let go of? Three questions that I think are good to ask ourselves at the start of this year. What has worked in the past that I need to keep doing? What things might work if I actually make some changes to them? And this is how I approach a lot of stuff from a leadership perspective. It's like when we do something at Compass, and if it actually kind of works well, okay, well, let's look at, can we improve it, keep going? If something doesn't work, but we go, it's got some legs, but what changes do we need to make? Or there's just some stuff that we try and it just doesn't work. It just was a disaster, and we just go, well, we're never going to do that again. But we just need to be honest about that. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's talking to you. Those three questions, he's talking to you. Okay, now pat yourself on the chest and go, wow, he must be talking to me. Because if there's the person next to you is telling you he's talking to you, that means I'm talking to you. All right, so as we go through this today, I don't want you to be thinking in your mind, I hope that person's listening. No, I want you to listen and to think about how you can apply this to your own life. Sometimes I think it's important that we just get back to basics. Just get back to the basics. By that I mean, in terms of our faith, we are called through the great commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, with all our strength, and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And then the Great Commission, to go into all the world and make disciples. That's what we're called to do. Just getting back to those basics around that. So keeping that in mind, just let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Are you with me? Is everybody following me so far? All right. Let's go. Matthew 19, verse 16, please. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher," or "Master, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We honor your word today. I pray that within our minds, our hearts this morning, we would allow you, Holy Spirit, to come and to bring the revelation that is required for wherever we may find ourselves this morning. I thank you that your word is living, it's alive, it is active. It's wanting to bring transformational power into our lives. But it does require us to be open to that. So I pray that we would be open, that you'd be honored, that you'd be glorified as we commit 2017 to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have this rich young ruler. If we set the scene, if you try to imagine just for a second, a rich young ruler comes up to and that terminology there, that description of this young man would indicate that he is a young man that's in a position of status, prestige, if you like, a magistrate or a justice of the peace within the community, a man of high standing and high rank for his young age. So he comes up to Jesus and has a conversation with Jesus, and the disciples are close enough for them to be able to hear this conversation, this dialogue that goes on between this young guy and Jesus. And he calls Jesus teacher or master, some versions would say. It's not master in the sense of authority figure in terms of power authority, but more in the sense, as is the word used here in the NIV, of teacher authority. Coming to Jesus as an authority that can actually teach, and he's, by using that term, he's saying, "I'm willing to listen, I'm willing to submit to what Jesus you have to say." Is that us today? Is that us? It's not about the words that Phil has, but it's about the words from God's word that we're actually open to and allowing that to transform our lives. And then he does something. What does he do? To get it started, what does he do? Asks a question. He asks the what question. What must I do? What must I do? When was the last time you went to Jesus and said, "What must I do?" If you haven't done that for a while, can I encourage you at the start of 2017 just to say, "Jesus, what must I do?" And if you're seeking out the whole God thing and if you're wondering how this God thing works, then that's a great way to start. God, what must I do? And I'm telling you, the answer's already there in Jesus Christ. But maybe you've got a relationship with Jesus, but you haven't asked that question for, what must I do? And there are some things here that we can take from today that might answer that question for you or give you some food for thought so you can go away and actually kind of have a moment of honesty with yourself and stand in front of the mirror even and say, "Self, we need to have a talk." And go, "What must I do? Jesus, tell us, what must we do?" So I had this question and he asked that question, "What must I do to be saved?" Jesus answers. We see right here in the text, it says that Jesus says you need to obey the commandments. And obedience here is indicating not just know them, but to actually live them out. To actually be living these commandments out. I mean, it's pretty scary because, you know, Jesus refers to the Ten Commandments, but we know through Scripture in other areas that Jesus actually not just teaches on the Ten Commandments, but he actually elaborates on them and gives us a greater sense of insight into the depth at which God actually holds the Ten Commandments to the point where he moves it, shifts it from just do not commit adultery to saying that even when you look upon a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery. He takes it to a whole nother deeper heart level, and we'll explore that in just a minute. Now, this might sound a bit heavy, but the reality of even in a crowd this size, we're likely to have people who have or are breaking one of the Ten Commandments. That's the reality of the life that we live in. But you know what? One of the things I love is that John 3:17 says that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And I would like to present to you today, whatever place, stage of life, whatever, and I felt challenged to say this, and it might sound heavy this morning, but whatever secrets that you are carrying inside of your heart, inside of your life, we as a church are committed to not condemning you. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, so what gives us the right to judge or condemn? But we are committed to people here today and anyone that comes through the doors of this church to not condemning, not judging, not hanging them out to dry, but for loving and supporting and caring for them and providing and finding the best possible means of support and help that they can actually find. And with that comes the levels of confidentiality and with things. But don't let some secret sin or something that you struggle with limit you from living in the fullness of the freedom that God's. Make 2017 your year of freedom. See, the darkness is the devil's domain. Don't keep those things hidden, but find a leader, find somebody, make an appointment with me or one of the leaders, and I encourage you and I invite you to come and just allow God's light and love to pierce that darkness in the weakness that we sang about this morning. Let his strength come in, turn that weakness into a strength. That's what the church should be about. So often, sadly, we have this kind of idea that I've got to have my crap together before I come to church. Or I've got to come to church and present or put up the appearance that everything is okay, but the reality of life is that is not the case. Back to the rich young ruler, he speaks of following the commands. He said, "Yep, I've held those. Even from a young age, I've held to all the commandments." And Jesus doesn't rebuke him. Jesus goes, "Well done, that's great." So right here, there are things, there are good things that we need to keep doing. Those things that we've been doing. What are the things that have been working? What are the things, that good things I've been doing that I need to keep doing? Maybe we need to evaluate and just do a bit of an evaluation against the Word of God to see, okay, different areas of my life, how do they line up? And are there some things that are kind of being okay, but if I tweak them a little bit, they go from good to actually being great? So those first two things. I mean, the reality is that, I'll be the first to admit, it's pretty easy to keep up appearances. Like, I mean, we can all come to church and we can all kind of like do the Christian easy kind of thing and make it look like we've got things all spinning and the plate's spinning at the right speed and everything's looking great on the outside. But the reality is it's not about the outward. It's not just about the actions that everybody can see. And Jesus starts to take this conversation to a whole nother deep level. I mean, it's scary how God has the ability to see right down into every nook and cranny and our deepest crevices of our hearts, our minds, and our souls. He sees all the murky yuck that is there, the dregs, the sludge that is there that we sometimes try to hide. And he says, I still love you. Oh, I'm so grateful for that. Jesus, thank you. That he can look down deep into all of that and he says, I still love you. And oh, how he loves us, how he loves us so. And Jesus kind of takes this conversation deeper with this rich young ruler, and he challenges this young guy to go, hey, if you really want what you're after, you need to go and sell all your possessions, give everything you've got to the poor. Jesus looks past the actions. He looks past all of the facade. And he just goes straight to the heart. Matthew Henry's commentary puts it like this. He said, we must practically prefer the heavenly treasures before all the wealth and riches in this world. We're called to, as the great commandment, called to love our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself, and especially those that are less fortunate than what we are. And scary when Jesus actually presents him with this kind of challenge, the response of the rich young ruler is he decides to walk away. He's sad and he's sorrowful, but he's not sorrowful enough to turn to Jesus. And we don't know what happens to him after that point. And what's hard from a pastor's perspective is that Jesus doesn't chase this guy. Jesus doesn't chase after this guy to say, well, hang on, can we just talk about this for a minute? Hey, let's talk this through. Hey, let's have a chat about this thing that you are holding more tightly to than me. Maybe we can compromise on that. Jesus doesn't make compromise on that. It's all. So let me ask you again, before we move on. What's worked in the past for you that you should keep doing? What things might work if you make some changes? But what are the things that you simply need to stop doing and let go of in 2017? I mean, we say it nearly every year. If we keep doing what we've always done, we're going to always get what we always got. So there's only one person in this room for your life that can make the changes required to have a different outcome at the end of 2017. And it's not me. It's you. Got to make some decisions and choices about what you will or won't do. What are you going to let go of? What baggage are you going to take with you into 2017 when Jesus says, no, I've come to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You could go into 2017 actually free from the burden of guilt or shame or the bondage or ties or chains that are holding you back. Jesus goes, I offer that to you. But is there something that you need to let go of? Is there something that you just need to maybe stop doing? I don't know if you've ever heard that. And I don't know. I haven't been able to actually find out whether this is fact or fiction. But it's a story about how people catch monkeys, or used to. Now, I don't think zoos do this. But I don't know if you've ever heard this story where there's like a jar or a container that's got like a small opening, enough for a monkey to get its hand in. They put like a banana or a peanut or food inside the jar. And then when the monkey comes and goes to reach in and actually grab something, grab the banana or the nuts inside, they startle it. And because the monkey will not and does not want to let go of what it desires, it will hold on, but it can't pull its hand out. So therefore, it's trapped. Trapped because to overcome, there's a greater desire in the jar than their actual freedom. They weren't not willing to let go of the actual banana or the peanuts, and so they get trapped and they can actually be caught that way. Is there something that we hold on to that has got us trapped? Is there something that we've kind of grabbed a hold of and we're just not willing to let go, but if we actually let it go, we'd actually experience a whole world of freedom that God's got for us? The ruler, rich young ruler, walks away, and then Jesus has this kind of fascinating conversation with his disciples, trying to give them some insight into the dynamic of what just happened. And Jesus says, hey, I tell you the truth, guys, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It struck me when I was preparing this. Jesus says, it is hard. It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then I began to think about it. I think about the incredibly comfortable society and kind of life that we all have, that we fit, all of us in this room fit within the top 5% of the world's wealthiest people right now. So we're the rich ones. So I began to think about it kind of like there are so many pressures on people and temptations for us that try to take us away from connecting in a more deeper way with Christ. We've got so many different things that we can be pursuing and come our way, and there's just so many different things that it says here, it is hard. And I realize, especially in kind of like the area in which we live, solid middle class kind of city of Glen Eyre, if you like, we have so many temptations and different things that can prevent us from pursuing. And Jesus is going, hey guys, it's actually hard. Do you realize it's actually hard? He's not making excuses for us, but he's actually just going hard. He says it's actually easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And when I looked into, I don't know what stories you've heard about the gate that he's referring to here. There used to be a gate that was possibly referred to. I haven't been able to find any solid evidence to say, but there is speculation that there was actually a gate that was part of a larger gate that was closed at night. And if a camel had to come at nighttime bearing its load and things to the city, what they'd have to do is actually open this little gate. They'd have to unload all of the baggage off of the camel, and the camel would have to stoop down very low to be able to actually even get through this small little camel eye of the needle gate for the camel to get through. Now that's one explanation. But I think what Jesus is actually referring to is actually like literally a sewing needle. That like a camel going through the eye of a needle. Next picture if we can, John, be great. He's like, that's probably not the eye of the needle that Jesus was actually referring to, just quietly. But trying to actually get that image of a sewing needle with how small. It's, I mean, in our mind, it's actually impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And the disciples are actually just going, hang on a sec, then who can be saved? And this is what I want to finish with this morning. Jesus' response is simply, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Simply, I just want to break it down in those six words. And they speak for themselves. With who? With God. All things, that's all encompassing, are possible. With God, all things are possible. So the disciples are going, well, how does this work? And Jesus just says, hey, in your minds, to what you are hearing and what you're understanding, you think it's like this, but with God, all things are possible. So when I think about the people that I'm connecting with that don't know Christ yet, and I look at their lives, and I'm looking at, they say, well, maybe I would think that they don't have a need for God in their lives. It's almost like they've got everything, and if that falls over, there's three or four different safety nets that they can fall into. I'm going, God, how on earth are these people ever going to come into a relationship with you? With God, all things are possible. With whatever challenge you're faced with this year and it looks impossible and you're going, God, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to come together. I don't know how we're going to get through this together. I don't know how my daughter's going to get through that. I don't know how my son, I don't know how that relationship's going to get restored. God, I don't know how it's going to work out at work. God, I don't know how these bills are going to get paid. With God, all things are possible. And it's built on the premise, this conversation is built on the premise that he's saying that I acknowledge your good works. I don't berate you for your good works. But it's not that I'm after. I'm actually after your heart. I'm after your whole heart, withholding nothing. That you would say, God, I'm all in for you in 2017. And if it's not in this church, fellowshipping with these guys, being part of our family, then I encourage you, Find a church family where you can get connected and get plugged in and get committed and get loved and where you can love others. But giving your whole heart to God. And when he has that, it makes the way for him to do the things that we think are impossible. I'm looking forward to this year because there's a bunch of things we just go, it makes no sense. I don't know how this is going to work. God, I flippin' have no idea. But I'm standing on, with God, all things are possible. For your life this year, with God, all things are possible. I can do all things through who? Through Christ who strengthens me. With God, all things are possible. And if you don't believe me, read it for yourself because these are Jesus' own words. So if you're just going, well, that's not relevant to me. Yes, it is. If you're willing to give your whole life to, and commit your whole life to Jesus Christ, commit your whole year to Jesus Christ, you say, God, I'm all in with you. Then we're going to stand upon, with God, all things are possible. Well, very quiet in here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for an opportunity that we get to gather to worship you and honor you. Pray this morning, Jesus, it's all about you. Father, there's been good things that we've been doing that we need to keep doing. Maybe there are some things that we can tweak and adjust and get into better rhythm with you. And then there's those things, Lord, that are contrary to your word, those things that just are not being fruitful in our lives that we just need to let go of or just stop doing. Father, we sang this morning that we need you so much. And as we start this year, we praise you and glorify you for each year that has gone before. But we openly declare unashamedly that we need you more this year. That I pray that we would be holding on to nothing except you, Jesus. That we'd be loving you above all else in our lives. Loving you, our Lord, our God, with all our heart, our soul, our strength. Loving others as ourselves. And being obedient to your great commission of going into the world, making disciples. Father, this morning I just ask your blessing on each person here. We are mindful of those, Father, that can't be here with us today, that are either traveling or are not well. We pray for those, Lord God, that just need your healing touch. Father God, those that that are struggling in different ways, thank you, Lord God, that you are our portion in you. There is no lack. And we just pray in the name of Jesus for healing. We pray for provision. We pray for peace. We pray for protection. Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, have you ever asked that question, what must I do to be saved? The Bible would say, in fact, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Today, if you do not have your own personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it's the best decision you can ever make. But it does require us to be willing to let go of everything else and just to passionately pursue Jesus. And then he tells us that when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things fall into place. And I know that for me in my house, we stand testament to God's goodness in that way, that as we desire to seek God first, he just takes care of our stuff. So this morning, if you've never ask Jesus Christ to come into your life to forgive you of all your wrongs, which the Bible calls sin. If you don't have your own personal relationship with God, I'd love to give you that opportunity today. There's nothing that I can do. Jesus Christ has done it all through dying on the cross for you and for me. If you'd like to have your own personal relationship with God, start living life His way, which is life to the full. As no one is looking around, just as we close the service today, if that's you, say, yeah, Phil, I want to start my year that way. If that's you, just raise your hand. No one's looking around. I'd love to pray with you after this service is done. Spend a couple of minutes with you and just let you know where to from here. But is there anyone here today? You say, yeah, Phil, that's me. Just raise your hand. I'd love to pray with you after this service. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. Is there anybody else this morning? Second question that I have. If you've been challenged, and right now it's none of my business what it is. This is between you and God right now. But you know that there are, you know what the things are that you need to just keep doing because they're good things. They line up with God's word. There's other things that you know you can tweak a bit. But if there is something in your life that you want to leave behind in 2017. You do not want to take it with you. You do not want it holding you back. Just between you and the Lord right now. If that's you, just go, that is something I need to let go of. That is something that I need to just stop. Just an acknowledgement before the Lord this morning. Just encourage you. Just raise your hand and say, God, that's me. I'm not going to ask you what it is. That's just between you and the Lord right now. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, yep, Lord, I'm letting that go. I'm letting it go. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to move into the freedom that you've got for me. I'm letting that go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Thank you. Father, for those that have raised their hands here this morning, maybe there's others that were maybe nervous to do so. I thank you, Lord God, that Jesus, you came not to condemn, but to save and to set free, to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. You have not created or designed us to be held bondage and captive in chains by anything from the past or anything that we have been doing. But you have the authority and the power. So right now I invoke the name of Jesus Christ into these circumstances. Whatever power, whatever hold these things have, we break it right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for freedom in this place today, for the space in which has been taken up by these things. Just come and flood with your peace and your joy and your grace, the courage and strength required to continue to walk in victory daily. And I pray this in the authority of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.